If I were to take a poll of you here today, those watching online, of those listening later this week through our podcast, I think it would be safe to say that the majority of us truly do desire to fall more in love with God, truly desire to see Him more clearly, to hear His voice, and to be entirely rid in our own lives, in our own world, of the effects of sin and death in our life and world. It's not even a hard sell for non-Christians, let alone the faithful, to agree that heaven is aptly named, that we all long for a body and mind without disease, relationships that are pure and good, with work that is creative and meaningful. And more than any of that, to be intimately known and connected to our Maker and by our Maker, free to be who we were made to be, in the presence of a good and holy, all-powerful God. Most of us love the idea and or promise of heaven, but the way there is typically where we get stuck. The critical stumbling block is the cross, to humble oneself before the miracle, the mercy, and the lordship of Jesus has not been done by so many in our world, because it is the biggest stumbling block at the core of our very being, that pride. And then for those of us that have gotten over that initial stumbling block of our pride and have confessed our need for Jesus to save us, that have humbled ourselves before Him, we too only get stuck a few blocks down the road. For His path becomes narrow. The path that He leads us on becomes more and more narrow. And if we are to fit down the path that He has for us, it means that we have to let go of the many things that we treasure. He'll even ask us often to give up those things on this earth and this earth that we treasure the most. And ultimately, each one of us, at some point down the road, at many points down the road, if we're honest, are ultimately faced with the recurring question, do I trust and treasure Jesus more than I trust in or treasure anyone or anything else? Sometimes Jesus even asks us to give up good things, not just the sinful things. Maybe bacon, or our country of origin, maybe a career, or a dream of a cottage in the country. I do know this, that the closer that we get to heaven, in the proximity and the clarity or the purity of our hearts, the closer that we get to heaven, the more that we become like and look like Christ, the closer we get to Jesus, the less we hold in our hands. Crowds swarmed Jesus by the thousands when He gave out free food, when He healed the sick. They cried Hosanna when He rode into town, thinking that this was going to be the king that would forever rid them of Roman's evil rule in their region, and that He would bring prosperity to their family, to their home, and their life. But when His way, His path of riding into Jerusalem became more and more narrow and led Him to the cross, there weren't so many people around to applaud and to hang on His every word and to seek Him. In fact, even those closest to Him, His very disciples, were embarrassed and or fearful to even admit that they knew Him. In those moments, they treasured their own security and comfort more than their love and trust and treasure of Jesus. Now, the good news is obviously that Jesus forgives. The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead, and the disciples saw with greater clarity what this road and what this life and what this time on earth is to be all about, what the coming of the kingdom would look like for them, and the power that they have and had in Jesus, not only in his death, but in his resurrection. And with the presence of Jesus in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, they too would pick up their cross. The road led them in a narrow way to pick up their cross, to leave their countries of origin and their comforts behind and lay it all down for the sake of the gospel, for their love of Jesus. Today, January 14th, 2018, is our annual Vision Sunday. Our mission, as we've articulated as a church, as Parkside, is to continue the ministry of Jesus in our homes, meaning our personal lives and our immediate friends and family circle, in our homes, in our church, in our city, and in our world. That we all want to see Jesus free our hearts, free our homes, free our city, free our world from the power of sin and death, from slavery to sin and death, for the ministry of Jesus to open and expand and to flourish to its complete and full effect in our hearts, in our homes, in our church, city, and world. One of the ways that Jesus, re-quoting the prophet Isaiah, articulated what, in fact, the ministry of Jesus is all about was this. He says, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Ultimately, and most importantly, he's speaking from a spiritual dynamic, but it's not limited to the spiritual, for that's not his design and that was not his provision. That is, from the inside out, from the spirit to the flesh, from the spirit to the world, his kingdom would come in and through our lives, in and through our death to self and his resurrection power in and through our lives. When we read texts like that, we hear Jesus say that, to give sight to the blind and to free the oppressed. We all love that and we all want that, don't we? But where is the ministry of Jesus today? Right now, in this moment, where is the ministry of Jesus? Well, Scripture is clear. Our experience, many of us know it to be true. It's in you. He's in you. Jesus is in you. So what's blocking the way between Christ in you and setting the captives free? You. You are. And if you can't see how you're blocking or where he is in your life and where you're blind to him, where you're hiding him or where he wants to move in and through you, then you can't. If you can't see that, then you obviously have a vision problem. If you can't see, you have a vision impairment. Now, the Word of God graces us by a diagnosis and even a prescription. But whether or not we take that pill or follow the doctor's instructions, that is what truly becomes the evidence of whether or not we live by faith or by flesh. We can have a map and be told where we are and where we need to go and even how to get there, even given the compass and the comfort or company of the Spirit, but whether or not we take the steps to get there is up to us. We all want to get to the destination, but few of us, at least for seasons or days or weeks or decades, few of us trust the trail that Jesus presents for us, that Jesus leads us on. In our heart of hearts, in our own flesh, we say, surely there must be another way other than having to forgive that person. Surely there must be another way other than having to give up this dream. Surely my lust or my materialism won't weigh me down on the journey that Jesus has for me. Surely I know better than Jesus, and I think I know of an easier way to get to the destination. We all have those, surely, and then whatever that follows after His leadership and His presence, His conviction and His direction in our life. Well, Shirley has news for you today. If the destination is holiness, the absence of all that is not of God or from God, or that is not God, then the absence of that, then surely there the path there is His holiness. If the destination is holiness, then the path is going to be holiness. It's a preparation. It's consistent. It's congruent with who He is and what life will be like when we get to the end. He's preparing us for something. Surely the path there involves a stripping away of all that is not of Him. In other words, if you don't like His path, you won't like the destination. Christians love holiness because Jesus is holy. Christians love to die to self because to do so is to share in Christ. It's why Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Anything that isn't of God, or God doesn't want us to have for a season, will cloud our vision of Him. Will take us off the road that He has that was built by Him and leads us to Him. And if we want that thing or that life that isn't of Him, but then say that we want His destination, we are fools. It's why repentance is an essential component of the faith journey. We trusted in our own navigation skills, our own definition of good and evil. We went down the wrong path. And by the grace of God, He tells us by His word and spirit that it will not lead us to Him. In fact, we must turn around. That's what repentance means. We must backtrack to His trail and join Him. He's waiting for us. He won't scold you. He'll be delighted to have you back and welcome you back to His trail. Thanks be to Christ, we are forgiven. But how silly, how foolish would it be to come back to His trail and then the next moment or the next step, head back down the trail from which we just came, that wrong trail. The silliness and the foolishness of that is what Paul talks about in Romans 6 and also in the many apostles. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Hell no. That's the more literal translation, by the way, of Romans 6. Because of His grace, shall we change our course and pursue holiness? Heaven, yes. That's what He's saying. It's literally a matter of hell and heaven. It's literally for heaven's sake. The reason that we often can't see Jesus or hear Jesus is because we've moved so far from Him that we're on a different trail and we're wondering where He went. Or we're listening for Him and looking for Him, but can't see Him because we only want to see Him or hear Him if He's on our trail and with us. Yet Jesus does not hide. He's made Himself easy to see, but only to those with a pure heart can see. Only with those whose motives have been adjusted and humbled to say, okay, I'm not going to do life my way. I'm not going to trust in my own wisdom. I'm not going to go down what I think is best. I am truly going to humble myself before the Lordship of Jesus. And it is with that purity of motive that we begin to then see Jesus, that we begin to then see His path and begin to walk out a life of purity, a life of holiness. Today, this week, this year, I pray that each of us by faith responds to the grace of God flowing through my words, but more importantly, His words. That we all might just look up from the trail that we are currently on long enough, open and honest enough to see where we might be off course today, this week, this year. That today we might look at the map, so to speak. That it might be that kind of a day, kind of a week, kind of a year. And that we see where we are over here and we see where Jesus is over there and we correct our course. Jesus, his way is the way, the only way. Think about that for a moment. His way is the only way. If you want life, if you want eternity with him, if you want all that is good and right, his way is the only way. Learn to like and love his way. Otherwise, not only will we not make it all the way, but even if we were to make it all the way, we wouldn't even like the destination. Heaven is not a place of self-glory or indulgence or the applause of man where everybody praises you and thinks you're awesome. How did you do it? You're so good. You're so good looking. You're so smart. You're so awesome. Man, I want to be like you. That is not the destination of heaven. That is not what heaven is like. Heaven's citizens delight in the glory and the generosity and the applause of Jesus. If the freeing power of Jesus is to manifest in your home, in our church, in our city and world, then where on earth, literally where on earth, is there room for him to move in your life? Where in your schedule, where in your budget, where in your morning routine, is there room for him to move? Where in the busyness of your day is there consideration for his leadership, his work that he wants you to receive and his work that he wants you to do, and the pace in which he wants you to do them? If you think that Jesus will move into a corner of your life and do your bidding and act how you want him to act, then you have got it all wrong. Here's how I see that kind of thinking and living manifesting, at least in my world. I hear things like this. Clint, my marriage is struggling. My spouse is a jerk and we're drowning in debt. Well, have you prayed about it? What did the Lord speak to you in your devotions this morning? Well, you know, I was reading about Mary and Martha, but what does that have to do with my problems? I need a spell, some kind of magical prayer that can change my husband. I need a promotion at work so that I can pay off our debt. Well, perhaps the Lord is telling you to slow down. Maybe the Lord is telling you to stop running around like a headless chicken and just to sit at the feet of Jesus. Slow down, I hear back. I need to speed up. I'm already dropping the ball in so many areas of life. How is sitting going to solve everything? I think I'll take your advice and say thank you for it and go see what Oprah's Instagram channel has to say today. Or to put it more plainly or differently, Clint, it seems like every few months I get a flat tire. Why does this keep happening to me? Well, maybe it's the way you drive. No. It couldn't be that. I'm a great driver. Tires just don't work the way they're supposed to. Or maybe it's my neighbor. I think he's sabotaging me. Well, what about the bucket of nails that you dropped in your driveway last month? I suggested that you pick them up last time, but you thought that would be too much work. No, it couldn't be that either. I bet it's the guys at the tire shop. They just want to bleed me dry. A couple examples of how we try to get God to follow us or ignore his voice. It's a backwards, toxic way of living that clouds our vision of him and distances us from his trail in our lives. If you cry out to God to heal you of your depression, but all you hear back from him is to pick up your neighbor's trash or to stop using pornography and you can't see how the two are related, who cares? Trust him. Yes, depression is a pain, but it doesn't even compare to the pain of a life lived where we trust in ourselves. I say all of this to say that the primary problem in the world today is a vision problem. We've lost sight of Jesus, and the only way to see him again is to turn around, to repent, to walk back through the mistakes we've made and arrive humbled before Christ, to receive his forgiving embrace, and then walk out his trails, his trail, not ours. Psalm 23 describes this trail very well. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures when I want to speed up. He leads me beside still waters when I want to drink from other waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not my own. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," what? God's trail for my life will lead me through death? Yeah. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You mean his presence is supposed to be enough? "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." That means, it means even in the worst health diagnosis, you just found out you have cancer, he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Even when everybody hates your guts and there's gossip going around or slander going around, or you just failed up and everybody thinks you're a loser, in the presence of your enemies, you prepare a table for me. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is a description of Jesus' trail, where he is the leader, where he is the shepherd, what it's like along the way, what we have in him along the way. He doesn't describe an easy journey, but he describes one of restoration, of health, and of life, even in the midst of death and darkness, and one with a beautiful destination. A life with no regrets, a life with no carnage and collateral damage behind us. That is what life with Jesus is like in a nutshell. Will you make him your shepherd? Will you hear his voice calling you in the darkness of your sin and leave it behind to walk in his light? A life of holiness is his path for our life. As the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially that the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Let 2018, this year, for our church, for your home, for your life, for our presence in this city and world, be a year of holy living. A year of letting go of that which is not of God. A year of jumping over the stumbling blocks of sin and pursuing his holiness. A life of holiness, knowing that in that, not only will we see Jesus in the midst of everything, but he will be our destination and we will love the destination. Our church will hopefully never write a long list of what you should or shouldn't do. Rather, we will tell you to be a good reader or a good student of Scripture. We will tell you to listen and be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And we will tell you to come under the love and wisdom of mature Christians. So as we close here this morning, to put it frankly, where is there sin in your life? Stop thinking that it isn't costing you, your loved ones, our church, and this world. Stop thinking that if you can continue down that path and at the same time still fulfill the plans and purposes that God has for your life. Stop thinking that the temporary pleasures of sin is better than the eternal pleasures of holiness. Stop trading your birthright for a bowl of soup. If we have as a church any chance of succeeding in what Jesus has called us to, then step one of every day, of every week, of every year, will be found in the people, the faithful, that repent and trust Jesus, that daily humble themselves, that daily intentionally and doggedly pursue holiness. People that treat sin as the cancer or crack cocaine that it is, and people that look to holiness as the very air that we need to breathe and to live and to find success. May this day and this week and this year be dedicated to holy living. May our hearts be purged of toxins that we might delight and see Jesus, that we might be in a place of health to see him move not only in our hearts but through us. There might be space for him, that we might make it further down the trail that he has for us because we've let go of the things that are not of him. May we be a people that recognize that any degree of holiness that is achieved within is by the mercy and grace of God. May we be a humble, grateful, and merciful people. May we fight the flesh-loving ways of legalism, self-righteousness, and elitism. And rather, may we walk the Spirit-empowered ways of grace, humility, and charity. That's step one for our church. If we want to succeed in being the people, the family, the presence of God, a light, a city on a hill, a light that shines in our world, if we want to be those kind of people, that kind of church, it starts in our heart. It starts with the purity or the toxicity in that which resides and which we keep and fester in our lives. And from the inside out, from one life to a home, to a church, to a city, to a world, his light can then shine in and through us. I don't know what that looks like for each one of us on a personal level. I have no idea what the Holy Spirit has been and will speak to you today and this week. But I hope that by his grace and by your faith, that you will hear his voice, that you'll hear his words, and that you will heed them, that you'll respond to them, that you'll be obedient and faithful to them, that even though you might not see how the two things connect, that you will be faithful to his Spirit's leadership and presence in your lives, that you will see him and what you are to do with your life and in this moment and in this week, and that you'll be faithful to respond to him. Heavenly Father, you know, I know, we know why it's so quiet in this room right now. Because none of us are without sin. None of us are without a part of our heart that has not been surrendered or submitted to you. And Lord, by your grace here today, as the sun shines through this window on me, your Spirit is shining through the window of our heart into our very soul, to expose, to illuminate that which is residing within us that is not of you. And Lord, I thank you so much that you are a God that doesn't just say, I told you so, and says, sucks to be you. But Lord, that you are a God that wants to heal us, that wants to cut out parts of our heart, the parts of our lives that are not good, that are causing death in us and through us in this world. You want to bring about healing. You want to bring about wholeness. You want to bring about holiness in us. So Lord, I pray that we would not be a people that turn from your light, but knowing your grace and your goodness, your love and your kindness towards us, that we would turn towards you. And let your Spirit do your work of exposing, of convicting, of correcting, and of leading us to the cross to find forgiveness, and leading us to your resurrection, where we find that you bring new life from death, that that which our flesh and Satan wanted to bring harm and destruction in our life and through our life to others, that the work of the cross and the presence and gift of your Spirit want to bring life. So Lord, we as a church, as individuals, and as a family invite your Spirit to examine our hearts, to search our hearts, to reorder and correct and cleanse our hearts this morning. That from the inside out, your purity, your holiness would go to work and shine in your light in and through our lives in this world, in our homes, our marriages, everywhere. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for the trail that you have prepared and are leading us on. That we know that as we trust you and your definition of good and evil, of your plans and pace and purposes for our lives, that only goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives when we let you be the shepherd of our soul, shepherd of our marriage, of our family and home and lives, Lord. Would you lead, would you guide us this year, this week, and this day. Pour out your Spirit in that way on us today, I pray. Amen. You can stand. We're going to close in a song. If you'd like prayer for anything, our elders will be available. They'd love to pray with you, for you. Enjoy His forgiveness. Enjoy His purposes for you.